Joining me now is Tanya de Jong, who runs a and founded a not-for-profit called Creativity Australia. Welcome to the program, Tanya.
Thanks, Alan.
Now, you had your big annual conference in November, this year called Race to the Future. But tell me, what have you got coming up for 2014?
Look, a lot of projects. Creativity Australia is doing a lot of our With One Voice choirs, which I'll come back to in a sec, plus I'm doing a new solo CD with Joe Kindamo, the wonderful Australian jazz pianist and composer.
So is it a jazz CD?
Not really, but it's reinventions of wonderful classical works, plus some originals, and just some really beautiful arrangements of songs that people will love, like Somewhere and The Rose and Summertime. He does the most amazing jazz riffs in that. And there's some improvisation in it. It's beautiful. And then as well, doing a lot of leadership work with top teams, so working with top 100s of some of the big companies to get people into a more creative headspace.
Right, so you're somebody who's taken a career as a singer, as a soprano, as you have been, still are, I guess.
Yes.
and have extended that into a range of other things, conferences, advising companies about creativity and so on.
Mm.
I mean, we're talking this month about music and the changes that are going on in the music industry and the pressures that musicians are under, I guess.
That's
the financial pressures.
Mm.
I mean, how difficult was it for you to extend your talents as a musician and singer into these other areas?
I mean, I guess it's been difficult, but I was lucky in that I did a law degree. And so my parents always sort of insisted that, you know,
you've got to have something to fall back on, Tanya.
That's right.
Exactly. That's what they said.
And I don't know if I ever told you, but music was never a given for me. Like, I think some people out there might know my grandfather was a very famous sculptor and my grandmother invented the first foldable umbrella, and my parents were Holocaust survivors, and so nothing has ever been certain or definite. And so it's always good to have an insurance policy. And so I think that for me, absolutely, I wanted to be a singer, but when I was 14 years old, my best girlfriend told me I should never bother having singing lessons, and I believed her. And we all have these messages that we're...
Why, was that because you could sing or you couldn't sing?
Well, who knows? she didn't... Look, what happened was I believed her, and then in year 11 I auditioned for the school musical, Oklahoma, and I auditioned for the chorus and I got the lead role. Well, my friend didn't get in the chorus, so I don't know. You make your decision about that. No, look, you know, sometimes we get told things when we're a kid that we're not good enough or... you know, and we carry that around all our lives. And I see and work with lots of people in corporates and others, and I'll say, you know, who thinks they can't sing? Who's been told by their parents, their teachers, their kids, someone in their lives they can't sing? And 85% of the group invariably puts up their hand. And yet work with them, build some trust, remove some self-limiting beliefs, and all of a sudden everyone is raising the roof and they're going, well, if we can do this together, what else can we do? It's very powerful.
One of the things you do is that you actually, in companies and in conferences, you get people to sing.
Yeah.
And it's quite a liberating experience, I think.
It is. And it's like I call it, my vision is to inspire people to find their voice. But I don't just mean their singing voice. I really mean their purpose and meaning in life, because it's about actually finding and unlocking more of your true potential. So going back to your earlier question about finding the shift between, you know, being a soprano and, say, a social entrepreneur, an entrepreneur as I am now, difficult. Yes, though in some ways I was born to it, because, you know, my grandparents were innovative. My grandmother was an inventor in the 1920s as a woman, and my mother's always been relatively independent, and my parents were quite, you know, firm on the fact that it would be good to have some kind of a backup plan. So having that law degree gave me some stability. But I think also the knocks that I had, so the girl saying I shouldn't sing, and then later on another singing teacher who told me I'd never make it past the chorus and I should focus on my law degree, all these sort of things meant that I was never going to follow the traditional pathways, and that I was going to have to find a way to create a living doing what I loved, which has been the best thing ever.
And has it been surprising in the sense that did you have one idea of what Creativity Australia would be like and it turned out differently, or has it turned out to be the way that you expected?
Well, I suppose, so there's Creativity Australia, which is the charity which I've set up, and there's Creative Universe, which is more the commercial entity. And both of them, I guess, are different than what I expected. So Creativity Australia has really focused its work on bringing together choirs of social inclusion. So we bring together CEOs and executives with migrants, job seekers, and people with depression and disabilities aged from 9 to 90 of all faiths and all backgrounds to sing in weekly choirs that are much more than weekly choirs. So in the program each week, we sing, we have supper, and we have a wish list. And each person in the choir can put in their little wish in the little bag, and it might be, I want help with my resume, I want a job in X sector, I want someone to walk home with, I would like to meet a future partner. We've had some engagements. I would like help with English. And because of the diversity of these choirs, we're finding that people are able to fulfil one another's wishes. And we have, I guess what we have at choir, and we have 13 of these programs now, 12 in Victoria, one in Sydney, and one starting in Brisbane in 2014, called Brisbane Sings. So we have Melbourne Sings and 12 around Melbourne, some in companies, Royal Children's Hospital, ANZ Bank, Breaking Down Silos, some in communities, Dandenong, Frankston, Sydney Sings, and then in 2014, Brisbane Sings. So what happens is all of these programs are like little tribes, global villages. Each week we have what I like to call positive human collisions, where we meet people who we'd never meet in the normal course of our daily lives, and we help one another. And the wonderful thing is that the power of singing is such that people's brain actually changes. There's a lot of neuroscience showing that our brain chemistry and our neurotransmitters fire in different ways when we sing with other people. And you know those books like Norman Doidge's The Brain That Changes Itself. Those sort of books and the research behind them is showing that these sorts of things are very important for us as human beings, because we tend to spend most of our time in the left side of our brains, very analytical, very logical. And for us to really connect with other human beings and embrace possibilities, we need to be more on the right side of our brains.
So tell us about your business. You brought McKinsey in to have a look at it. What did you learn from them?
Well, with Creativity Australia, you mean?
Creativity Australia.
Well, no, both actually. So McKinsey has been wonderful because they've worked with us to help us build our strategic plan and look at some of the... One of the wonderful things that happens through the choirs program is we build a lot of skills and mentoring and employability for our members. And so they did some work with us on that. They also did the strategic plan for that. But also, on the other side of things, yes, well, I did work with...
On the left side of your brain, you mean?
Sort of, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I work with McKinsey's top 100 in Australia, and I think some of them were from New Zealand as well. And, yes, you know, I did a keynote speech, because I do a lot of speaking, to get them inspired and into a can-do headspace and connect to their hearts. And then I brought in one of our fantastic conductors, and we did what we call our One Team, One Voice program. And that is really about bringing together all these diverse people that are in companies and getting them singing together off the same song sheet. We got, you know, African gospel song, four-part harmony with actions. And a lot of them came up to me afterwards and said, well, that was the most powerful, you know, team building experience we've ever had, because we weren't in different, you know, rafts or whatever, abseiling up a mountain in different teams. We're actually doing this all together, and we were in the same brain space together. And that's very powerful. And so that was really great. And actually, as a result of that, that was why they got so inspired to help our charity with some of our strategic planning. And of course, Michael Rennie, the head of McKinsey in Australia, has spoken at the Creative Innovation Conference for the last 4 years, and very inspirational speaker.
So both sides of your business really kind of work together, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's I always say to, I do a lot of talking with, you know, emerging entrepreneurs. And I always say, if you can incorporate a social side to your business, you know, we all talk about the triple bottom line, but when people do that meaningfully when they first set up a business, they can really work well together.
It's been great talking to you again, Tanya. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
I've been talking to Tanya de Jong, who runs Creativity Australia and Creative Universe.
This is Talking Business.